Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome all the way from across the world, Mr. Daniel Buchbinder from Guatemala. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Ashutosh. Thank you.
Daniel is Mexican, currently working in Guatemala. He's the founder and director of Alterna, which is a center for social innovation and entrepreneurship. He's worked with L'Oreal, and he's advised the Ministry of Economics in Guatemala on national policy on entrepreneurship. So Daniel, let's talk about Alterna. Tell me about this venture.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Ashutosh. Alterna is a venture that I began in a second phase of my, I would even say, personal and professional life after some experience with a corporate, as you were mentioning, in L'Oreal, which was an amazing school for business, for marketing. But I was kind of looking for some kind of complementary purpose in my trajectory. And Alterna was born based on very clear needs that I understood were occurring in Guatemala and in Central America at large, regarding that space where not the typical private sector, not the public sector, and not the civil society were covering, regarding new ways of creating social good in a sustainable way, which is social businesses. And that's why Alterna was born.
Very interesting. Help me understand the meaning of social innovation.
Thank you. It's a great question. And it's, I think, I don't know if there is only one or even a range of right answers. Mm-hmm. My answer, Ashutosh, is the following. Innovation, you know, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, is a new idea, device, or method, no, or the process to introduce new ideas, devices, or methods. From our particular perspective, we are living in a world and in an era that we don't have time just to create any kind of innovation that does not directly and intentionally will improve the lives of people and therefore the environment. So we hope that one day the Merriam-Webster dictionary will add the part that enhances or improves the environment or well-being of people. But until it happens, we need to put social before innovation. So it's just to reinforce the fact that innovation needs to have a purpose. That's our particular view.
What a great definition. Thank you. So, you know, when I was reading about you, you state we've cultivated a field of possibilities. Help me understand what you are doing with examples, if necessary.
Absolutely, Ashutosh. And I think that's very important of the philosophical approach of what we're doing in Alterna. As I mentioned, I came from a corporate world, and I didn't know about startups or you know, entrepreneurship at all. I'm talking about 12, 13 years ago. And when I started in this ecosystem or in this sector, I, you know, there was, and there are still many, it's very binary, right? You have incubators and you have accelerators. And one of my first questions was like, well, but incubators and accelerators are good, but they operate under certain premises and within certain contexts in which they thrive. But that those premises are based on certain aspects of the place. Let's say accelerators will tend to work very, very well in Silicon Valley, you know, in Tel Aviv, maybe in Delhi, maybe in Berlin. and incubators and accelerators have, you know, very, very, very
focused,
kind of focused or certain, again, premises. And I understood that those exact concepts would not necessarily fit the needs of the vast majority of current and potential enterprises, especially social enterprises, in a context like Central America. Okay. And that's why we created a concept, Cultivate. Mm. Cultivate has a Latin root in culture. And it's very associated with also the field to cultivate plants.
Correct.
But it has the notion of the things, you know, that the resources that anything or anyone needs to evolve, to thrive, may be different. And within this concept of culture and with analogy of agriculture, we're saying, okay, why shouldn't people or companies be served in a more intimate, in a more flexible, in a more adaptive way that is not a linear approach? And that's the basic concept of cultivation. Of course, we use tools, methods, and processes very similar to what any great accelerator would do, but with a different approach, and with a different mindset according to the needs of the entrepreneurs in the region.
Fascinating. So basically what you're telling me is that, you know, entrepreneurs in and around Guatemala can reach out to you for guidance, for support, and to help them fly. Can you give me an example of one or two where, you know, who've gone through your you know, social innovation network and are developed?
Absolutely. And we also invest in early stages. So it's kind of the full cycle. So I can share a couple of examples. And we proudly are a gender lens organization. So I will speak about two examples of women-led businesses with social impact. One of them is called Ethicos. And it's a company, it's a tech company that has created a service for medium and I think small and medium companies now in Latin America, in order for them to have, you know, ethical and compliance, and so that there are ways for companies to detect any potential corruption or harassment or anything in an anonymous way. So it's a great company led by a great leader, which her name is Ingrid. And that is one company that went through a range of processes, including our investment. Then another one is called Cinco Azul, which is basically a marketplace for organic and fair trade products from rural areas to connect, you know, so that it's like a delivery sent of packages with fresh and organic and fair trade goods from rural areas, you know, enhancing the livelihoods in rural areas while providing great products to urban consumers. So those are two different examples led by two great leaders.
Amazing. And again, when I was looking at your work, you talk about three pillars that you work on. Stimulate action, strengthen ties, and cause innovation. I do begin to understand the work that you're doing, but for my viewers and listeners, do tell me about each of them.
Sure. I mean, I guess the most important word for us is action. You know, we as there are think tanks, we consider ourselves an action tank. You know, it's an organization that is all about action, about agility, and you know, the call to action is basically all the services that we do, trying to be as effective and as potent as possible for entrepreneurs. In a region like Central America, there are many gaps, social gaps, which are structural parts of the problem of why there is poverty and why there are so many, you know, environmental deterioration. And so it is with creating better and more diverse ways of people to connect and to minimize the barriers that are usually present, that prevent the possibilities of different ways of interaction, investment, etc. Mm-hmm. We create events, and we are very intentional in how we kind of the best concept that I can use is enhance or improve the social capital of the region. Right, through all these kind of connections, sure, events, sure, and stuff. And innovation grows from the empathy and the understanding of the first two. When you understand how links are improved, or where are links that are failing, or how action is not improved, then is when we understand what kind of innovation in terms of services, in terms of spin-offs that are needed from Alterna. And that's how our impact investment body arose, because there was a clear gap in that sense. Mm-hmm. That's where we innovate. We innovate based on very clear gaps that we identify.
Amazing. And if there is a young social entrepreneur who has a great idea, what is the process she or he would follow to be incubated, if I can use the term, by Alterna?
I guess what we would do as Alterna is we would direct them to incubation programs itself, mm-hmm. because we have very clearly defined, we are not operating with entrepreneurs in idea stage. Mm-hmm. Our sweet spot is where entrepreneurs have a bit of traction. Okay. At least a bit of traction, mm-hmm. with already a prototype, or that's where we can add the most value.
Understand.
And there are many programs of incubation in Guatemala, in Central America, in all the world, where mostly universities or government programs help them, to structure the idea into the minimal traction that they need. So that would be my advice.
And
basically, just as a concept, I'm sorry for interrupting.
No.
To throw themselves in the water, because there are great programs, but you need to get yourself out there and prove your idea and test and learn. And that I think that would be the first thing, to go and try and not just like stay thinking and writing and stuff. You need to go
well
and be and activate yourself.
Wet your feet quickly, you're saying.
Exactly.
Before you agree to incubate a project, whether it's an early stage project or people who've got some traction, what do you look for?
It always comes down to the person, mm-hmm. right? It's again, ideas can evolve, can change, and should, mm-hmm. in many cases, change, evolve, adapt, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would say it's about the person or the team. Mm-hmm. That is leading. Hopefully it's a team or at least co-founders. Mm-hmm. And then it's their connection to what they want to achieve.
Okay.
In other words, to their purpose. Mm-hmm. When there is a very strong purpose, a very organic, a very genuine purpose, mm-hmm. and a good team behind that, that's where things start to get a lot of interest, because things will eventually roll positively, even if there are learnings, even if they don't advance with that initial business model. But if the purpose is ingrained, they will find the ways to advance on it. No? So I would say those are the two basic features of a team or a company that we are in, want to work with.
Fascinating. And a logical next question would be on an exit. Since you said you make an investment also in some of the companies, when do you look for an exit from a company? And what are some of your criteria?
Yeah, thank you, Ashutosh. I think that the first thing to clarify is that at this stage, with our first fund, which is called Catalyzer, mm-hmm. Because that's the idea to catalyze an initial stage, we are using a debt instrument, mm-hmm. so that the exit is kind of very, it's very natural regarding, it's a revenue-based loan. Mm-hmm. So basically they pay against their sales, and the exit it's them who define how fast,
correct,
and how, you know, and how expensive or not is a loan, right? But it's very flexible, and of course there is a lot of support during the before, during, and after the investment process or the financing process, so that the exit becomes very organic and depends more on them.
Amazing. So one more question before I move to another topic. The pandemic has impacted everybody. I'd love to get your view on how has it impacted a lot of the entrepreneurs who are social entrepreneurs.
I would say some of them suffered and maybe are still suffering. Some of them did amazingly well. You know, obviously companies that had already a certain degree of digitalization, either if it was more internal or as a service, part of their service or product, they did very, very well. They tended to do very well. Those that were not engaged with any digital, you know, we have entrepreneurs from rural areas because we are a very inclusive organization. And of course, some of them struggled more, you know. Fortunately, because they were well prepared, we didn't have such a, or we didn't see such a high mortality rate within our portfolio or within our tribe, as we call it. But again, I do think that depended on the sector they were operating and how either how engaged they were with the digital world in general, or how fast they moved into it. So I would say those are kind of the main.
Amazing. So Daniel, let me move to what you did on entrepreneurship for the Ministry of Economics. Tell me what went into formulating a national policy on entrepreneurship.
Sure. I mean, I think it was just the being in the right place at the right time with the right idea. Around 8 years ago, the Ministry of Economics approached us because they were kind of creating an advisory committee for, you know, to strategize or you know, just to brainstorm and to analyze what ended up becoming a national strategy of entrepreneurship. And yeah, we were very humbled and grateful to be part of that process. And of course, kind of our approach and our insights were trying to push as much the policy or the strategy into social aspects, right? Of course, entrepreneurship, of course, market-based, but with a social impact and where innovation was driven by social or environmental purpose.
Okay. And when you draft a policy in a country like Guatemala, what is the process for it to get approved?
I think an important comment here is we were more in the part of the strategy.
Okay.
That then went into a phase of, you know, becoming a policy. We were not involved in that. We informed via the strategy the eventual policy that ended up in a new law being approved, but we were not directly involved in the policy, but in the strategy, which was the previous step.
Got it. So I'm going to now move to the last segment of our conversation. My viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So I have time for 3 or 4 questions for you. My first question to you is that, you know, from the private sector, advising the government, running such an amazing social innovation center, what would you say are 3 key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
I'd say as a child, it was not necessarily one of them, but the fact that my parents and my mother in particular was very keen and very organic around me being empathetic and appreciating nature. you know, and what it meant from very tiny things. And this was all over my childhood. So mm-hmm. it was not necessarily one pivot point, but it was an extended idea that was cultivated in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the second one was working in L'Oréal and understanding at that point, because now they have actually from I don't know if it was through the pandemic, they were now very much committed to sustainability as many other like very, very large corporations.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood the fact that I understood that I was not going to accomplish a personal purpose
mm-hmm.
in a company for a range of reasons mm-hmm. was a pivot point, and that said, okay, I need to redirect my career elsewhere. I don't know exactly how, but I needed to take changes. So I began a couple of masters, actually,
mm-hmm.
And then I ended up launching Alterna. And a third pivot point was when we understood, for example, speaking about social innovation, mm-hmm. once with Alterna, that we needed to be bold and to jump into the water into something that was not our personally my field of expertise, which is investment originally,
mm-hmm.
And to make everything possible to create and to risk and to be bold around having an impact investment arm, because we knew that was needed. So those are three pivotal points, I think, that I
amazing,
can share.
Amazing. So I've got time for one more question. I was trying to decide what to ask you. But this question is for all the young people who will listen to our conversation. As someone who knows the startup world so well and who's supporting so many entrepreneurs, what would your advice be to a young entrepreneur who is wanting to start off on her or his journey?
This is a very good one, Ashutosh, mm-hmm. and I think I feel very strongly about what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, like, being an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
or having a very strong entrepreneurial trait
mm-hmm.
should not be only addressed or the only way out is not creating your own company.
Mm-hmm.
Using your entrepreneurial energy
mm-hmm.
and mindset can be of great value
mm-hmm.
to a startup, a company,
correct,
a government office
mm-hmm.
that needs you with your drive and with your entrepreneurial and DNA.
Wow.
Because creating a company,
mm-hmm.
of course, you have to be an entrepreneur, of course. Mm-hmm. But you can be an entrepreneur without creating a company. And you can create a lot of value with that. Because I have seen over and over again young people that think that if they don't open a company, they are not fulfilling, you know, they feel empty somehow. Mm. And that shouldn't be a feeling. There are many other ways of doing. And maybe at some other point in your career you can. So I just think that you have to connect with your entrepreneurial DNA and use it in whatever is feasible and viable at any given time.
Amazing, amazing. What amazing advice. Daniel, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length about Alterna and the amazing work that you're doing. And thank you for the incredible advice that you've given to young entrepreneurs who want to start off on their journey. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you for having such a great space and for the time thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.